The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio.
Elizabeth Dutton.
Hey.
Hey, while you're sitting there, I got a question for you. Do you know what's ridiculous?
I do know what's ridiculous.
I knew you would.
This one, we got to take a little winding path here.
Oh, no.
Okay, so.
I'm not liking the start of this.
One of my current favorite songs is A&W by Lana Del Rey.
Oh, your girl Lana Del Rey.
It's a masterwork.
Miss Del Rey.
And I love it.
Of the King.
Yeah, so.
Lana of the King.
A&W, right?
Yes.
is the name of the song.
Uh-huh.
A&W is also, in a totally unrelated thing, the name of a fast food restaurant.
Yes, yes, a famous root beer maker.
Yeah, it's it stands for awesome and wobbly. I don't know. So,
Anson root and
beer,
Williams.
Yeah, Anson and Williams root beers. So they do a root beer, which you can buy in the store.
Okay.
They also have a restaurant.
They have a cream soda, too. It's good.
Yeah, there's that too.
Yeah, I used to go to the restaurant. That was my preferred. Like my family's like, let's go to the DQ, the Dairy Queen.
But we went to A&W. We talked about A&W. Yeah. I think Book Thief, the guy who was in the Central Valley. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
I'm a big fan.
Yeah. So we've established.
You like Foster's Freeze. I like A&W.
And I love Diet Root Beer.
Yes.
Okay. So we've established that.
We're clear.
And we've established that A&W is a great song. Thank you very much.
Totally.
You also like, okay, so we're talking about what we would order at A&W.
Ah, yes.
And you like fried fish sandwiches, right?
I do like fried fish sandwiches.
So A&W, they've got a quarter pound cod sandwich. And it's apparently very good. It looks good. And so anyway, I think you'd enjoy it, right? But if you wanted it to like, what if you wanted that forever?
What it wanted what forever?
Fish sandwich from A&W forever.
How is this like a Twinkie fish sandwich? How, what kind of preservatives are we putting in this fish sandwich?
Let me tell you that they have a partnership with Life Gem.
Oh my God.
I gotcha.
You do. Why?
Gotcha. And so this partnership with Life Gem.
They make the rings, right?
They make lab grown diamonds.
Yes. They'll turn your grandma into a diamond.
Well, so they'll also turn a fish sandwich into a diamond. And this is real. This is real, folks. People of Earth.
We started with grandma, now we're down to fish sandwiches.
Okay, so check it out. So it says that this unprecedented piece of jewelry was made in partnership with Life Gem by extracting carbon from the cremated remains of a half dozen A&W quarter pound cod sandwiches.
So they just threw some ham sandwiches in the crematorium.
A sixer of cod sanguich in the crematorium. The carbon was then placed in a machine that mimics the heat and pressure under the Earth's crust for several months to form an actual diamond that was then precisely cut and fitted into a unique setting.
Does it have a color? Because it's all
Yeah, it's kind of orangey, like amber-ish. And so, you know.
It's a chocolate diamond.
There, you had to enter into this. It's a fish diamond.
It's a fish diamond.
You had to enter in.
Can you think of a fish that has no idea it's been turned into a diamond?
What
it was
a
just
life.
Out there living
what a
in
life.
The sea.
It's just
an Atlantic
along.
Cod. And
yeah,
suddenly,
exactly. It's like off
whoop,
the
I gets caught. Thinks
off
that's
the
bad.
Coast of Massachusetts.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, I got caught. Now I'm on
Zoink,
a boat. This sucks. And
goes then, into a factory boom. Where someone's also getting like a thumb lopped off while they're trying to gut
oh,
this fish. And so then, yeah, then it winds up in someone's gullet.
Well, yeah,
well no.
No, it avoids
destined
that fate.
For.
Yeah.
And then...
With 17 of its other buddies gets turned into...
And then it's on my finger.
A ring. Put a ring on it.
So they...
All the single
like,
fish. You can't, all the single fish.
You can't buy it.
Yes.
Money can't buy
no.
fish sandwich.
One of those
fish,
things money can't
diamonds.
Buy, Elizabeth. How do I...
You have to enter in, and it was a Valentine's Day thing, but like that
oh,
ship
why
has
are you
sailed.
Telling me about this now?
I know. Just, I should have entered you so that you could, you know, give a fish... diamond to your special someone.
Yeah, there we go.
But
she'd
it's
love that.
You know, there's more. They could also they had other exquisite jewelry made from A&W's All American Menu items.
But there's more.
Yeah, and I'm having trouble finding it because I think after Valentine's Day they were like, ah, sod it, we're not going to do anything with this website.
Cancel the matched earring set.
Yeah, so they did want to point out that the Rudy's Mug Club coupon for BOGO quarter pounder cod. Sandwiches?
You love that word, BOGO.
Golly, I can't stand it. BOGO, doorbuster. Mm-hmm. Those are the two like marketing things that make me want to punch people in the throat. You could do that on Valentine's Day, but again, I'm late to the game. So there's plenty of fish in the sea, they say. In summation.
This really lowers the value of my grandmother being turned into ashes, now turned into a diamond ring, because now, on my other hand, I've got one made from a fish sandwich.
They
used to be so special. Now
the fish sandwich pinky ring.
Exactly. I'm baller, baby. Baller.
It's ridiculous.
You know what's also ridiculous?
Yes, please.
Okay. I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 words for you.
Uh-huh.
How journalists write about women outlaws?
Oh, yeah.
This is Ridiculous Crime, a podcast about absurd and outrageous capers, heists, and cons. It's always 99% murder-free and 100% ridiculous.
You damn skippy.
Oh, Elizabeth.
Zarin.
I was reading about the 19th century, as one does, if that someone is me. You know how I love the 19th century, right?
I do.
I'm always like, Sherman, burn some more!
You're like, but of all the centuries, it's like one of my top ones.
Definitely top three centuries.
Yeah.
Now, anyway, I was wondering about outlaws who mm-hmm. were women, right? So I hopped over to your online playground, newspapers.com.
I love newspapers.com so much.
I know you do.
So much...
Yeah, so there I am, and I went clickety-clackety-click, and boom, up pops this name I'd never heard of, right?
Uh-huh.
She had written with outlaws who I had read a lot about.
Okay.
So I was kind of surprised not to have ever come across her name before.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, I'm curious, so, and at this point, I'm officially intrigued, Elizabeth. So I went clickety-clackety-clack, one more, and then boom, I ventured deeper into newspapers.com little time machine, right?
Yeah.
And get this, I found this outlaw was world famous.
Is it? Puff Drella Murgatroyd?
No.
Oh.
Not Puff Drella Murgatroyd.
I thought that's who it was.
The first or the second, the younger or the elder. But they were writing about this female outlaw in the newspapers in New Zealand, and she wasn't from New Zealand. She wasn't even from Australia.
Really?
But wait, there's more, Elizabeth. I also found that there was another world famous outlaw who was also a woman, and that she was often favorably compared to this first one that I discovered.
And they're not well known names.
So boom, yes, I found not one but two outlaws.
Wow.
Who were women, and now today I'd like to tell you about both of them.
Yes.
All right. So Elizabeth, you in the mood to hear about the outlaw Dora Cox?
Yes, I am.
And the highwaywoman Barbara Daniela.
Yes.
All right. First up, the outlaw Dora Cox.
Bring him on.
The American. Now, remember how I said up top it's often ridiculous how male journalists write about women?
Correct.
Who are outlaws in this case? Well, this is a taste of how the contemporary newspapers wrote about our first outlaw.
Oh,
and
boy.
I quote, Dora Cox, the Oklahoma female tough, knocks all the poetry and romance out of her story by being as ugly as she is wicked. Dora should adorn her person with something prettier than cartridge belts. Let me see your wanted photo, pal.
That's the thing, is you can just imagine these, you know, Adonises writing this stuff. And, you know, you're guaranteed to see, like, a picture of her and be like, I don't see the issue.
Exactly.
It's not like she's, you know.
She's just a ginger. What are we doing here? No, but honestly, and interestingly, other writers, they went the exact opposite direction when writing about old Dora Cox. Now, this is from the November 8th, 1900 edition of the Evansville Journal. And I quote, Dora Cox is about 30 years old now. She is a slender woman with chestnut hair and a pair of big, innocent blue eyes that look as mild and sweet-tempered as a child's. She can ride like an Indian and shoot like Buffalo Bill. So you see, the writers, they really can't decide. Is she hot? Is she homely? Who knows?
We've seen that before, though. Like, yes. Big Bertha. Mm-hmm. Some of them were like, oh, good God. And others were like, ooh, blah, blah, blah.
You know, I would. Yeah,
right? Exactly. It's like, it's, I don't know. It's, you know, they want to sell papers, whatever.
Well, anyway, these folks, they can all agree that in the autumn of 1898, old Dora Cox came into town in an eye-catching fit. She, the December 22nd, 1898 edition of the Gaylord Herald, which we will be hearing a lot from, mm-hmm. wrote that Dora Cox was, quote, riding bareback on a fleet roan horse whose sides were covered with foam, with her bare feet protruding below an abbreviated skirt, which was in a dilapidated condition.
Oh, an abbreviated skirt.
Yeah,
huh?
She's riding a mini skirt, right? And they're like fashion police, too. In a dilapidated condition. She couldn't wear that to church. Now, that's other paper, the Cheyenne Sunbeam. Side note, what a great name for a newspaper,
name.
Right?
Yeah.
The Cheyenne Sunbeam.
I've been writing for the Sunbeam 3 years now.
December 9th, 1898 edition. I think you remember this one well.
I remember it was a great year.
Yeah, you did composition on that one.
Fantastic weather.
For the Cheyenne Sunbeam, the newspaper reporter, was more fashion-minded, and they gave us a more colorful description of this outlaw's outfit. And I quote, when captured, Dora Cox was riding bareback, barefooted, wore a red Mother Hubbard and a man's jumper, and had a cartridge belt buckled around her.
Cute.
Everyone's just all focused on her fits, right? No. And the same writer, he also decided he would also comment on her beauty because, you know, that's just the thing you do. So, and I quote, she wears her hair short and unlike the traditional female outlaw, she is neither pretty nor prepossessing, but is just as hardened and rough as it would be possible for a woman to become.
The traditional female outlaw is
exactly.
A Hubba Hubba model? What the heck?
This is like the America Ferrera speech from the Barbie movie.
Yes!
But in 1898,
my God.
Right?
Totally.
The journalist wants female outlaws because clearly they're fun to write about, but she should be attractive.
But
however,
not too attractive.
If she's too pretty, then no one will take the woman outlaw seriously, and then she's have to blast so many
she
people.
She should be rough and ready, yeah. But she should also not be too masculine.
Exactly, because, you know, she's not tending to her looks out on the prairie, mm-hmm. then, you know, she's not making sure her gun belt matches her mothered Hubbard.
They say she's wearing like men's jumper. It's a sweater, I would assume.
Yes, yeah.
And like, I'm sorry, but there's nothing better than an oversized men's fisherman's sweater.
Exactly. Why not?
It's the fashion of the day.
You love that, right?
I do, actually.
They kind of ignored that she was wearing like a sensible short haircut, perfect for the prairie.
They're not washing their hair.
Exactly.
It's like, you know, when if you have long hair and you don't wash it, it gets that wet but dry greasiness.
Yes, totally.
And it just does. It's not a look.
It's not, you know. Never looks
just,
good.
Just, you know, wash and go
I
is
like
what
it.
She needs.
Yeah, you need a, yeah.
Fun and flirty.
Now, others, you know, they also love to focus on the fact, like, that she's riding horse barefoot. And they're like, you know, some 19th century Tarantinos are like, oh, look at her feet, right?
Oh, right.
But the horse has shoes. Why does she need a pair? She's
not
walking.
Walking on the ground.
Right, exactly.
She probably has a pair, like, looped over the back.
Yeah.
A pair of Keds. She just slip them on.
For the weekend. Now, there's just no winning for a woman who is an outlaw.
I
know, right? But in all seriousness, it's funny to me that this newspaper, all these newspaper men, they want to crucify the outlaw for not being feminine enough. Like, she can rob and steal, whatever, but come on, act like a lady.
Smile, honey, smile.
Exactly. Anyway, back to Dora Cox. In the May 26, 1899 edition of the Bruce Herald, they hyped her up as an all-time badass, right? They're like, quote, when not engaged in these pursuits, she has been up to some kind of deviltry. The story of her career is a story of depravity and crimes that has probably never been equaled in any way or state or territory in the Union. Her deeds of daring would thrill the reader of dime literature and cause the heart of the criminologist to swell with a desire to study her.
You know, in the eye-rolling business, we call that hyperbole.
Exactly.
Like, more depraved than anything? Okay, let's start making lists.
There's like serial killers on the prairie, and there's like, this woman's been walking around in a miniskirt, barefoot.
I saw the bottoms of her feet.
Yeah, doesn't even have long hair. Where is the society's going? Now, besides all this hyperbole, you really can't oversell how cool Dora Cox was as an outlaw, right? The Bruce Herald later described her, and I quote, "She is the most famous horse thief and outlaw in Oklahoma territory. There are few men, for that matter, who are her equals. There are many who excel her in what is known in Western vernacular as cussedness. Men who have killed their fellow men with reckless abandon and reckless disregard of human life. But as a horse thief and genuine all-around outlaw, they are not her equal by any means." He literally says it. He's like, oh yeah, these men killing with reckless abandon, but this girl on the horse.
Well, and there he's like, they kill, so that makes them a little bit tougher. Yeah. She's just ripping off horses.
Exactly. I don't understand the morality.
She's great. Yeah.
So anyway, Dora Cox, she's arrested 10 times, right? Uh-huh. Every single time she gets released for lack of evidence or she escapes the jail.
Good for
More
her.
Often, she escapes the jail. She had at least 20 known aliases. She was known as Dora Hawthorne, Darlin' Nell, Buckskin Nell, and Little Eva.
Little Darlin'.
No one knew her real name. As the Gaylord Herald reported, "Very little is known of her early life or of her parents, as she is very reticent about her history and her people. No one who will tell really knows what her real name is."
So no one ever finds out.
Shoot, she's like a Taoist mystery. Those who know don't say, and those who say don't know. Even her age was estimated. Some newspapers said she was 30. Others I found said she was 40. Some split the difference and said she was 35. So who knows, right? Somewhere along the line, this misguided outlaw, she had gone bad. We do know that much for certain, right? But what precipitated her fall from grace, Elizabeth?
I would love to know.
As the Gaylord Herald reported, and I quote, "In a brief period of confidence, Dora once said that in her younger days, she was a regular attendant at church and Sunday school, but that before reaching her maturity, she went wrong and has ever since traveled downward at a very rapid pace. Until now, she is about as tough as a woman can be." Once again, same line. Uh-huh. About as tough as a woman can be. What are they, cribbing from each other?
Yeah.
Anyway, and as a guy, I gotta say, I mean, that's tough. I can't even properly imagine how tough that is. Hmm. No, I mean, honestly, I think we as a species have it backwards, right? Like, we always talk about how men, we pride men for their strength, and, like, we mistake that for toughness. But really, when we talk about toughness, we usually mean, like, resilience and endurance, right?
Yeah.
We mean the ability to withstand and do so with, like, without a grimace, right? Mm-hmm. Just, or without even a hint of your suffering. To my eyes, that's a menstruating woman. No, I mean, like, honestly, like a week every month for decades, a woman has to grit it out and carry on, right? Mm-hmm. And no lie, I know I couldn't do that. Like, people have called me tough. Like, oh, man, you can take a lot of pain. I'm like, yeah, I couldn't take a period.
Well, yeah, you could totally beat me arm wrestling. Like,
yes, exactly. You
know, no problem.
But there's no way I could take a week of period.
You couldn't live it.
I would shoot somebody. Like, I'm like 3 years in. I'm like, I can't take it again. There's no way I could be as graceful as a woman on the regular degular. I'd just be complaining. Like, I'd be all pissed off. I'd be looking to fight because I'm on my moon, right? I mean, that's toddler energy, right? Just like, I'm mad. Like, things are in my body. You're making me crazy.
Well, that's also one of the things that's so hard is that you have to hold all this stuff together.
Yes.
And put out a calm and rational front to the world.
That's
and
tough
it's
as
like,
hell.
Yeah, it is. It's exhausting.
And we see when men don't get their way for like a minute, we're like, I'm going to shoot them, right? I mean, we go nuts.
I like beer, and they start crying.
Yeah.
And then it's like, yeah, but you got to...
So, yes,
see,
in my definition,
unfair. I like that you figured that out.
Anyway, where was I? The outlaw Dora Cox. You ever heard of the name Bella Starr?
I think so.
She's a notorious outlaw. She rode with the Dalton Boys, also another gang called the Bill Cook Gang. Uh-huh. Now, you know who else rode with the Bill Cook Gang?
No.
You may not remember, but you know this cat's name.
Okay.
But let's take a break, Elizabeth. And after this, I will tell you the name of the famous outlaw who rode with the Bill Cook Gang, and also what happens next for the outlaw Dora Cox.
Springtime is all about fresh air and fresh starts, and it's the perfect time to give a fresh look at SimpliSafe Home Security. It's the only home security system I use and recommend. Here's why I love it. With the days getting longer and the weather warming up, we're out and about a lot more, and that applies to criminals too. I don't have to worry because SimpliSafe blankets my whole home in protection. It has sensors to detect break-ins, fires, floods, and more. And there are indoor and outdoor cameras to keep watch over my property day and night. It's not just cameras. SimpliSafe has professional monitoring agents who keep watch on your home when you aren't there. Agents can stop crime in real time by speaking to intruders through the wireless indoor camera, warning them that they're being recorded and the police are on their way. Sounds great, right? There's no contract, and they offer a 60-day money-back guarantee. So trying SimpliSafe is risk-free. Get 20% off any new SimpliSafe system when you sign up for Fast Protect monitoring. Just visit simplisafe.com/ridiculouscrime. That's simplisafe.com/ridiculouscrime. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Today, I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
All right, Elizabeth.
Zara.
Where were we?
You were going to tell me who rode with the various gangs.
Oh, that's right, the Cook gang.
The ridings.
And yes, with the giddy up and the gallop and the hey-o. Okay. So this is not a test, Elizabeth, but I got to ask you, do you know what outlaw rode with the Bill Cook gang and took over the gang after Bill Cook was caught? I'll give you a hint.
I was going to say.
He was a black cowboy.
I was going to say, is he featured in the award-winning podcast Black Cowboys hosted by you?
Oh, me. Yes, sir. Yes, that's right, Elizabeth. Cherokee Bill.
I love Cherokee Bill. It was a great episode. Listen, if I'm not just saying this, but if you haven't heard Black Cowboys, the series, it's phenomenal.
Oh, well, thank you.
And I mean, I wouldn't, I just wouldn't tell anyone to listen if I didn't like it. So
just be like, yeah, he did a thing.
I wouldn't even say that. So you know it's for real.
I do.
But yeah, Cherokee Bill, dude, he's got a great story.
Right?
Yeah.
And you remember his buddy, the Verdigris Kid?
Yes.
Right? Okay. Best outlaw pair ever in terms of names.
What a name, the Verdigris Kid.
Now, I'd love to tell you a story of Cherokee Bill, the Verdigris Kid, and Dora Cox and the Bill Cook gang all evading a posse together. But sadly, I could find no single accounts of them ever doing a bank job together. Wow. They apparently rode together, but they didn't get busted together, so they didn't make the papers. But I do have some accounts of Dora Cox on her own. You want to hear one?
Yes.
From the newspaper, the Gaylord Herald, and I quote, "One evening in the fall of 1893, soon after the opening of the Cherokee Strip, four persons on horses appeared at the door of the Bank of Commerce of Pawnee, whose cashier was Reverend C.L. Berry, who afterward was sent to the penitentiary for looting the bank. Three of the parties were Dynamite Dick and Cripple Creek." Now, it makes it sound like Reverend Barry went to jail for looting the bank. The bank robbers looted the bank. But
You just pulled me off to the side in my mind when you said Pawnee.
Yeah.
And I'm just imagining on Parks and Recreation all of the murals of their hideous history and like what a perfect show that is. But
you love that show that you've probably never seen.
I've never seen it. But yeah. So, and what was it? Dynamite Dick?
Dynamite Dick and Cripple Creek. Some Ooh. More great names. I'm telling you, we're in name country right
you
here.
You and I talk a lot about like if you could time travel and like go back and check something out.
Yes.
And 100%, I would love to just like see an Old West town for like a week.
Oh my God, yes. So the 1880s is what I recommend, having read a lot about it.
Yeah.
It's close enough that it wouldn't be too unfamiliar for us, you know, but at the same time, it's still wild.
That'd be cool to see,
Anyway, so these, when did we stop giving each other silly names in this country? We used to be a country filled with dynamite dicks. Well, I'd still do it. I live by traditions, Elizabeth. Anyway, back to my story.
Yes.
I'm going to quote once again from the Gaylord Herald.
Bandit number four held up the horses while the others held up the bank. The fourth person, it is believed, was none other than Dora Cox, dressed in men's clothing.
So what did this foursome do? Well, they robbed the bank, right? Uh-huh. And then for good measure, they take the cashier, one Reverend Barry, with them, right? They toss him on the horse with Dora Cox, right? She's like, get on Dora's horse. He's like, okay, right? And together, the four outlaws, they fled the scene, right? And back to the Gaylord Harold.
A posse went in pursuit, but the Reverend Barry, who was taken along, bringing up the rear of the bandits, kept appealing to the pursuers not to shoot for fear they would hit him. The pursuit was soon abandoned, and when the swamps of the Arkansas River were reached, Reverend Barry was liberated and allowed to walk back to Pawnee.
So there you go. Now, as I said earlier, she was caught and jailed 10 times, but always managed to get free.
Yeah.
You can see it's because she's not hurting nobody, right? She's not
well,
really
smart
doing
to
violence.
Take the Reverend. I think that's why the chase didn't go
totally.
On.
Totally. Ain't going to shoot the Reverend, mm-hmm. not in the back, right?
Yeah.
So back to the Gaylord Harold. Her usual methods of procuring her freedom was to make the jailers fall in love with her. It is said that she always succeeded in making them love her, and that the jailers halfway admit it by saying that she hypnotized them. In either event, the result has been the same. Dora escaped.
You know, there's love and there's lust.
Exactly.
I don't think they fell in love with her.
She's not doing bad for someone who is as tough as prairie can make you,
right? Yeah.
And apparently she's as slippery as a pair of hogs fighting in a bubble bath. I mean, you just gotta love this girl. Anyway, October 13th, 1898, the Lincoln Journal Star reported that Dora Cox had escaped again. And I quote, "A few days ago, she visited her old haunts east of Perry in company with a man, and the officers got word of her whereabouts," right? So now all these people are on a manhunt for the fashion plate Dora Cox, right?
Uh-huh.
So the sheriff, his deputies, they get the word she's back in the county. And they were like, sure, we've tried 10 times to capture this woman and we failed every time. But this time, guys, it's going to be different. Now back to the reports from the Gaylord Herald in its December 22nd, 1898 edition.
As soon as the officers received word that Dora Cox was in the neighborhood, they went at once to her stopping place. Dora received word of their coming and left the place in such haste that she was barefooted and bareheaded, with the officers not very far behind her. Then came one of the most interesting chases ever seen.
So now we got her once again barefoot.
I love that she's just not about the shoes.
No,
she's like, just about hookworm.
Exactly. Ringworm, hookworm. What kind of worms you got in this country? So remember also that Dora Cox can, quote, ride like an Indian and shoot like Buffalo Bill, right?
Okay.
So this is not going to be your like regular posse chase. This one lasted for a full day and a half. She's ranging over territory,
yeah,
Elizabeth.
Yeah.
Dora led them on a merry chase through swamps and thickets and in and out of timber, over hills and through rivers. Sometimes they were close to her and sometimes they were not. But all the time, the pursuers were determined that this time she should not escape them.
So after this full day and a half of choking on her trail dust, right, they finally catch up to Dora Cox. Nobody's sleeping the whole time.
Yeah, no one's like, time out. Let's just take a break.
36 hours hard riding, saddle sore as all hell. Every
oh,
bone
God.
Is bruised. Her, she's got a
her
male
friend. So
they're
just peeing themselves while they're riding.
Right down the leg like they're surfing,
wow.
right? So in a town called Earlsboro, they finally catch up to her, right? But after this comes a hell of a firefight, all while in hot pursuit. Like, that's before they get caught. And I quote,
"Before they caught up to her, Dora's rifle had become useless as the result of a fall off her horse so that she could not use it. Nevertheless, when the officers approached her, she leveled her rifle at them and warned them that to approach her meant to die. All but one man stopped."
So what do you think happened to that one fearless man, Elizabeth?
Well, he didn't get shot because the rifle's broke.
Yeah, you are a student of newspapers.
I am.
So this dude, wild as he was, he basically calls her bluff out, right?
Yeah,
he starts
yeah.
walking towards her, you know, his boots are scratching earth. And he's like, I hope these are not my last moments. And I quote,
"He walked boldly forward. And when the others saw that she could not shoot, they went up to her and she was once more a prisoner."
So her bluff failed, right? After that, Dora Cox captured, locked up, kept under key and guards. And as I said earlier, not everyone's so disparaging in how they wrote about Dora Cox, right? It's interesting to see the two different perceptions of her. As the Independent in New South Wales wrote,
"Dora Cox laughs at locksmiths, and it is said the prison has not yet been built which could hold her for long. There's a magic in the girl which so far no warden has been able to resist. There are few crimes from highway robbery to borg stealing which Dora has not committed. The stories of her daring, her wild fights for safety, her narrow escapes from capture and death are more thrilling than the most sensational fiction. And yet, apart from her passion for plunder, Dora Cox has many qualities which endear her to her friends. She is described as gentle, generous to a fault, the most loyal of friends, and the possessor of a tender heart."
So this tender-hearted girl, tough outlaw with a tender heart, that, my friend, is our girl, Dora Cox.
It's like in an Australian newspaper. It's like hero of the week.
Yeah, exactly. They just praise her. So on September 11th, 1903, a newspaper called the Byron Republican ran a story with the headline, Girl Bandit Tells Her Own Story. Now, this newspaper story was reputedly written by Dora Cox, but more likely is written by a reporter who had basically scored a jailhouse interview, right?
Or, so, I mean, it's like maybe not even that. Is she going to argue? Is she going to sue?
Well, you can kind of tell it's her, right? Yeah. So let's hear from the outlaw, okay. Dora Cox. In her own words, they say I'm an outlaw. They say I'm a thief, a leader of train robbers, horse thieves, and murderers. Well, I don't care about that. But they say something else, and I do care about that. They say I am cruel. They say I have no womanly instinct. That is a lie. I am not cruel, and even though I have lived my life on the prairie and in hard camps, I have a woman's heart. So she comes at them, right? Now, I love what Dora Cox is like. Y'all think a woman can't hang out in the West? Law, I'm hard as a coffin nail and still have a woman's heart. But back to my girl, Dora Cox, right? Yes. I commence by explaining this so that you who read this may understand me better. I have never been understood by anyone, not even my own parents. That is the reason I am here today. My parents died when I was very little. They left me nothing. I had lived all my life on the plains. I knew horses and cattle, and I knew nothing else. Naturally, I turned to the cattle camps to earn a living. That was when I was 14. I cooked, and sometimes I helped the cowboys. 14 years old, and she's
on her own
in a camp full of hardened men cowboys, the guys who we've been tearing about all this time.
And in a time where she already had, I mean, even if her parents hadn't died, she's got very limited prospects of what she can do.
This is the necessities of a woman alone on the prairie. Like, so Dora Cox is like, okay, camp cook. That may be my present. I'm 14 years old, but she's like, ain't going to be my future.
14.
It was about a year after this that I commenced the life that has brought me here. I was working on a range in eastern Texas, and there was a pretty hard crowd of boys on the ranch, and at last I overheard a conversation. So Dora hears talk amongst these ranch hands, right? That turned out to actually be like Texas outlaws, like bad men, right? And when Dora Cox heard this, she was like, I want in.
Yeah.
Right? So
why not?
Right? But wouldn't you?
We've had a couple people on that we've talked about where it's like they're in a situation in their life where it's like, there's a fatalism to it. Like, how much worse can it get? Yeah, so why not?
Exactly. Just roll with it.
Yeah.
Back to Dora Cox. They were planning a raid one evening, and I overheard the whole thing. In my excitement, I made a little noise, and they discovered me. I was seized, and in half an hour, I was galloping over the range in the direction of the rendezvous with my arms bound behind me.
Oh.
So now she's a prisoner in some kind of like weird like Wonder Woman BDSM thing, right?
I hope not.
And she'd heard too much at this point, right? So she's grabbed by the outlaws. They tie her up. They ride her hard over to the hideout. And when they get there, they tell Dora Cox she has a choice to make, right? So she could be their prisoner, or she could be a member of the gang. There was no third option.
That's an easy choice.
Yeah, she tells it, take your choice, little girl, one of the outlaws said. I know you well enough to know that if you take an oath to stand with us, you'll do it like a man. Don't do it through unless you want to. So Dora Cox, she thinks about her life for as a woman in a prairie town, and she's like, that's not going to take me long at all to make this decision.
It was like a nanosecond decision. She's like,
what's smaller than a nanosecond?
She was in the process of asking to join the gang when they gave her the choice.
Yeah, she's like, and I quote, what had I to go back to? I knew no one would believe that I had been forced to leave the ranch. I had no house, no friends. The Martin boys and Simmons had treated me more kindly than anyone else in the world. In the morning, I told them I would stay. I took the oath to be true to them, but I stipulated that I should never be required to commit any crime. In other words, I would never peach on the crowd, but I would never take part in the raids. And when she says peach, that's like 19th century slang for snitch.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Peaches get snitches.
So the thing is, according to her account, she wasn't an outlaw very long before it became official. I had not been going with the gang 2 weeks when they were surrounded by a posse and had to fight their way out. I was captured. I had committed no crime yet. I was pointed out as the most desperate woman on the ranges. So what's a woman to do, Elizabeth? Dora Cox has nothing of her own and no one to go to. So now what does she do?
I don't know.
I made up my mind I would escape. A plumber came into my cell to fix a water pipe. While he was there, I slipped a monkey wrench out of his tool bag. He left without discovering it, and before morning, I had wrenched the bars aside and was free.
All right.
Right? So she didn't always have to make the men fall in love with her.
Yeah, no.
She can also count on her own skills.
Yeah, exactly.
So boom, that was just one of her many escapes. But being free, being a wanted woman, was just the start of a new set of problems for my girl Dora Cox. As she put it, where did I go? Back to the camp, of course. It was not long before the old gang was together again.
Yeah.
So now they're back at it.
That's her family now.
So the old gang, they break out for old Mexico. I mean, how dope is that? You get a ride to Old Mexico, and you get a call at Old Mexico.
I know.
Anyway, they raided through Texas as well. How much fun would that be?
Super fun.
Stuff from Texans.
Love it. I love that.
Anyway, so Dora Cox, she recalled all this as the, quote, stirring years. And in her own words, half of the time, posses were on our trail, but we fooled them time after time. Once we were cornered and had to fight, three of the boys were captured, but Simmons and I escaped. For years, I was compelled to wear men's clothing as a disguise. After the fight, we were pretty well broken up, and I went to work on a cattle ranch as a cowboy. Someone recognized me, and I was captured. So she was able to pass as a cowboy long enough to be captured there, right?
Yeah.
Caught once again, what does Dora Cox do now? I think you know the answer to that, Elizabeth. Did I try to escape? Of course I did. So would you if you saw a prison term facing you when the worst crime you had committed was to defend your life when a crowd of ambuscaded officers were shooting at you? Well, I was caught, and here I am. That's about all, I guess. Well, she kind of skipped over like 7 or 8 other arrests and escapes.
Yeah.
But wouldn't you if you were like telling your own story and like looking for some clemency from the governor? Anyway, Dora Cox was prepared to go all the way down the line for the only people who were ever kind to her, looked after her, who happened to be a gang of outlaws, right?
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
And she told the reporter, say, look here, I told you I took an oath to stand by the boys. There may be a $5,000 reward offered for information that will lead to the capture of Jack Simmons. There may be $1 million, I don't care. But if that sheriff thinks I'm going to buy my freedom by selling Jack's, he don't know Dora Cox. I'll die in prison before I peach.
Wow.
Yes. Elizabeth, can I tell you how much fun it was to discover the Ballad of Dora Cox?
It sounds incredible.
Lost, forgotten, sitting there in the newspapers of Oklahoma and Indian Territory.
Did you make a great film?
Totally. Now, remember I said Dora Cox led to a second outlaw who was a woman?
Yeah.
In the May 26, 1899 edition of the Bruce Herald, I found a story about Dora Cox that connected her to this other highway woman.
Uh-huh.
And I quote, Dora has a prototype in southern Russia, a woman, Barbara Daniela by name, who is chief of a band of highwaymen. But the resemblance is in calling only. They are both thieves and outlaws. Beyond this, there is no similarity. Dora Cox is a wild, coarse, ill-mannered female thug. Barbara Daniela is a woman of gentle birth, exquisite in tenderness of manner, and a host of whom even her victims delight to sing praises. She has a history but declines to reveal it.
There are a lot of elements to examine in that.
Right? I mean, the fantasy
first
world.
First of all, South Russia.
Yes.
Like, where?
Well, the two women, they're about the same age, right?
Okay. So
they're both
and I love that, yeah, they're like, here's
30
two
and 40 year olds.
Lady criminals.
Yeah.
Like, look at the, and they list off all the ways that they're completely different from each other.
But they're just like,
but
well, they both.
Look at these two. It's two
practically
lady
the same. So, as the same newspaper recorded, Barbara is now 35 years old. 10 years ago, she disappeared from her home in the village of Banza in the government of Kutay. Just why she left the surroundings, which she had previously graced so charmingly, is not known. Huh. The secret is securely locked up in her heart. Now, you're not going to notice something about how the press writes about Barbara Daniela. Remember what I said about how Dora Cox was judged by the newspaper writers?
Yeah,
and she was essentially deemed not pretty enough to be a folk hero?
Right.
Barbara Daniela is like a Barbie bandit, right? She managed to strike the perfect balance for the male newspaper writer.
Yeah, of course.
She played perfectly into some bizarre fantasy of being captured by a female bandit and then held hostage in some light BDSM play. And then by an outlaw who happens to be a woman.
Did she have like long, fiery red locks or something?
Practically.
Oh, God.
But not only that, the newspaper men, they also wrote about Barbara Daniela like she was a new tech startup who is disrupting the outlaw industry.
For 10 years, she has been the leader of a band of the most polite, gentle, and successful bandits who've ever turned the Czar's Highway into a thoroughfare. She has revolutionized highway robbery. It is no longer necessary to use violence. Blood is very seldom shed and never unnecessarily.
Ooh, right?
Okay.
So, anyway, you hear that phrase, the Tsar's Highway? I forgot to tell you, Barbara Daniela was doing all this in the Russian Empire. You noticed South Russia, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So even though she operated in the Outlands, the Badlands, the remote region of the Caucasus Mountains.
Okay, that was where I was trying to, okay.
She made a name for herself that rang up her fame all around the world.
The number of strong, able-bodied men whom Barbara has held up single-handed in true road agent style is legion. Sometimes she likes to operate alone, and she always goes heavily armed. Occasionally, she meets with stubborn resistance from the lords of creation, and she carries more than one wound as evidence of her precarious calling. But she never comes off second best.
So is this like she's like jumping Silk Road people? Like,
pretty much, yeah. That's exactly it. Like,
wow. Now, and no, what years are this? Late,
so,
late 1800s. Say,
yeah, 1898, 1899, same exact time, right?
Oh, that's really interesting.
So she apparently may have been tougher than my girl Dora Cox. However, as the Independent, the New South Wales version of the paper, reported on these possible criminal rivals,
But even the captivating Barbara has a formidable rival in Dora Cox, who is described as, quote, the most daring and skillful highwayman in America.
Wait, so it was American papers and Australian papers?
They're all writing about these women, comparing
the
these two women.
Criminals?
Yes, they're just like, this is great. We love this.
Wow.
Okay, now that we've connected our two outlaws, let's take a little break. And after these messages, I'll tell you about the ballad of the outlaw, Barbara Daniela.
Amazing.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Today I'm going to give you some straightforward advice on how to deal with naughty kids. How about instead of timeouts, time ins? Time for you to start paying some bills. I'm J.B. Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward. Inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Okay, Elizabeth.
Zarin.
We're back.
Yes.
You ready?
Yes.
Buckle up, Buttercup.
Yes.
All right. You ready to hear about my other girl, Barbara Daniela?
Buckled.
Okay. In the Friday, July 28th, 1922 edition of The Independent, the New South Wales version, reported on the highwayman Barbara Daniela. The subhead of the story was pretty telling of what was to come. Bewitching bandits, daring exploits.
Oh, so this is 1920s
1922.
Now.
Okay. I'll let the writer take it from here. And I quote, "If a man must be relieved of his purse and watch, he could not part with them in a more pleasing condition than to the command of a beautiful girl with a captivating smile on her pretty lips."
Oh, God.
So, gone were the days of the outlaw of yesteryear.
I don't mind you taking my stuff as long as you're a looker.
Yeah, a bold red lip on my outlaw. So, they used to be, you know, from the outlaws of yesteryear, you expected rough, unshaven ways, maybe a little tobacco spittle in the corner of their mouth, quick hand to the pistol. Not in 1922, Elizabeth.
No.
Now women are jazz flappers. Women are driving cars, smoking cigarettes in bars. They got jobs. It's a new time for a new woman. But this idea of the new woman predated the Roaring Twenties, because the talk of the new woman started in my century, the 19th century, because that newspaper report on Barbara Daniela was 20 years old, and it was a reprint.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay.
The New York Herald.
Wait, and they just ran it
as if
it was new?
They just ran it 20 years later like it's a brand new story. It's the weirdest thing. Nothing. I was like so confused when I was doing research. I was like, is this the same person? Yeah. That I read it and was like, oh, yeah, they're quoting from this other story.
Well, it took 20 years for the paper to get
down
there.
Yeah, they're just like, hey, remember how it was? Okay, the New York Herald, right? It was a very big paper at the time. It originally reported on Barbara Daniela in its Saturday, October 29th, 1898 edition, which is the contemporary stuff with Dora Cox, right? And I quote, "Who shall say after reading this that the influence of women is not a softening and refining one? There is a modern Robin Hood operating in the Caucasus, levying upon the rich travelers in that wild region, a modern Robin Hood who should wear petticoats, but who doesn't still. That is her own affair."
should wear petticoats.
Once again, always on the fashion police. Like, they don't care about the robbing, but what is she wearing? So, another paper, the Taranaki Herald, reported on Barbara Danielle in its story published on Saturday, December 17th, 1898. This story had the headline, New Woman's Latest Development. So they tied her into the arguments about feminism, I guess, or proto-feminism. And I quote, the emancipation of women proceeds apace. As nothing is sacred to a sapper, so apparently there is no calling, however masculine in its nature, which the up-to-date young woman is not prepared to tackle. Take the case of the Lady Highwayman. Narrated by the St. Petersburg correspondent of the London Daily Telegraph, Barbara Daniella is her name. She disappeared some 10 years ago from the village of Banza, and since then has held a whole countryside in terror by her operations on the road. The Lady Highwayman.
Yeah. We're all lady somethings, Aaron.
Always, of course.
You mean you got me, the lady host.
Lady host. Now, I don't know about you, but I love that some dude is like, now there are female highwaymen. Where will it end?
What is this world coming to?
They're mad that highwaymen have gone woke before they even had a word for woke. They're just, what is this? Now, mostly I love how these newspaper men competed over who could write the more glowing praise for this female bandit and her beguiling beauty.
Yeah.
As the writer for the New South Wales version of The Independent reported, Barbara is a picturesque, polite, and charming creature, said one of her victims. Her manners are those of the drawing room. Her conversation is a delight to the ears, and the traveler who has met her regarded himself as a person specially honored.
I wish that they wrote about the male outlaws this way. His chiseled features.
Yeah, his broad chest inspired fear in any victim who dare go against him.
I was warm for his form, too. Not just hers.
Warm for his form kills me every time. Now, as for her backstory, the reported story went, and I throw it back to the Independence coverage, Miss Barbara, the daughter of a Russian nobleman and a girl of great beauty, took it into her head to run away from home and join the fiercest band of outlaws in the Caucasus, who promptly made her their chief.
Oh, the chief.
Oh, they're like, look at this hottie. We should make her their chief, right? This all sounds like fan fiction, right?
Oh, it is. You know it's fiction.
Band of outlaws dubbed the daughter of a Russian nobleman their Queen Barbara.
Oh, yeah.
Like, come on, really? Now, and under her influence and her tutelage, quote, they rapidly became gentle and humane. Murder became a thing almost unknown, and violence of any kind was never tolerated.
But peace comes to the kingdom? Okay.
Exactly. However, never forget that when it comes to Barbara Daniella, beneath the velvet glove is a hand of iron.
Oh, God.
Right? So there was one fellow who sure learned the lesson the hard way. His name was Police Inspector Aristoff, right?
Uh-huh.
As the Independent reported, Police Inspector Aristoff dashed off to the villa armed to the teeth and accompanied by a number of his men, vowing that he would not return without the fair outlaw, alive or dead.
Interesting.
Now, good to his word, the funeral for the police inspector was held a week later.
Wait, is this a one for fun?
I didn't say she did it.
Oh.
Something happened in the mountains.
R.I.P.
And then they sent back a body and they said, is this yours?
There was a
you probably want to put
event.
This in the dirt. It's going to start to smell.
1%.
I would say it's probably 1%. Now, earlier I mentioned how the St. Petersburg correspondent for the London Daily Telegraph broke the story of Barbara Danielle, and everybody basically quotes from his story.
Yeah.
Let's hear from that cat, right?
Yeah.
So he's the wildest simp of them all. He set the tone that all these other fawning writers imitated, having never actually met Barbara Danielle. He's the only one who was in her presence,
okay.
Right?
Okay,
so,
yeah.
And he uses very British newspaper writing.
Okay.
So the first sentence is, the ancient and erstwhile respectable guild of highwaymen still flourishes in the Caucasus, despite the fitful efforts of Cossacks and Circassians to inaugurate a reign of relative peace in the wild and mountainous country. Now, there's also this mythic analogy. This curious highway woman is one of the most artistic riders in a country which has produced the best human substitutes for centaurs. The St. Petersburg correspondent documented the progress of highway robbery and the civilizing influence that this woman disruptor brought to the Caucasus.
Uh-huh.
Before Barbara took to the hills, travelers used to be rudely knocked on the head before they knew where they were. And if they ventured to speak or squeak on coming to their senses, had their hands or heads cut off altogether, and were generally dealt with as if utterly devoid of nerves, sensation, and self-respect. Today, everything is different. Thanks, Barbara Daniella. Yeah. Now people have self-respect and sensation.
And they're enjoying it.
So the writer went on to document the many times that Barbara Daniella counted on her luck or her newfound allegiances to stay free when she was captured. Because remember, she also had a tendency to get nabbed.
Yeah.
4 or 5 times, for instance, the lady was surprised or betrayed and arrested. But her luck never left her.
Once her prison door, it was a manor house, was opened at night, if not by an angel of the Lord, at least by a friend of the lady, whereupon she rose up and walked away before her accusers could bring her to trial.
Now, my favorite story of her escapes is when she, much like Dora Cox, hypnotized one of her captors with her love eyes and her beauty, right?
Right.
Another time, her jailer set her free and went with her to the mountains, where he is now one of the most fearless daredevils of her gang.
Oh.
Yeah, so she wins this guy over. He's like, I'm with you, Barbara.
Yeah, he's like, this looks like way more fun.
Yeah, when we ride, here's the keys. Now, my second favorite is the story of her being caught, arrested, and her jailer, who would have fallen in love with her if he knew she was a woman.
Oh.
Yes. Her jailer would have probably have fallen in love with her had he known that the sympathetic prisoner belonged to the female sex. But as Madame Daniela has invariably worn the picturesque costume of a male Georgian ever since she took to the hills, the janitor of the jail entertained an angel unawares and conscientiously looked after her.
Wait, so he's saying that the whole time she's been
she's dressed as a dude. Sometimes she would be dressed as a guy. Obviously, other times people saw her as the beautiful outlaw. Yeah. The Lady Outlaw.
Yeah, so, that's interesting.
The Brits are a little better with the language than the Americans, obviously. Like in the New York Herald's coverage, it sounds like American tourists writing reviews of sex workers in foreign countries.
Oh, God.
Yeah, like, and I quote from the New York Herald, "The American tourist who ventures into that wild country in the south of Russia should not neglect to go well supplied with money and jewelry if he wishes to see the fair Barbara at her best."
Oh, wait, so they just want to go out there and make yourself a mark.
Exactly.
Wow.
They're recommending going out there to meet her. Have lots of baubles, then it can be seen from a distance. Now, it sounds like the writer sounds like he's describing a 19th century pay pig. Like she's into some kind of like on like OnlyFans FinDom thing.
I don't know what any of what you just said means.
What that means is that these dudes would be lined up for the pleasure of being robbed by her.
Okay.
And they would enjoy it the same way like a sub might enjoy being humiliated by their dom.
Okay.
Is making sense?
Not really, but...
Okay, so a findom is where
a
woman, typically a woman, it can be a man, but typically a woman has these men who are fans of her.
Oh, like a financial dominatrix.
Exactly. So she
we use full words.
Well, the term is called findom.
I know, but it comes from somewhere.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying it's a term anyway. So the term is, she basically sounds like the same dynamic.
Yeah.
Which is that these guys are loving to be going and be humiliated by a beautiful woman, and they're willing to give up a small fortune to do
it. Sure.
Which just goes to prove my contention that it's always been the same. Like basically, as Stephen A. would say, nothing new under the sun and things of that nature.
Yeah.
Right? Or as I would say, same people, we just have different technologies.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let's get back to the St. Petersburg correspondent from the London Daily Telegraph. So his readers could have the full sense of what it was like to be robbed by a beautiful highway woman.
Amazing.
Barbara Daniela, he wrote, and I quote, "Fancy if you should be traveling along the roads of the wild districts of Kute, clothed in the costume of the country, being politely halted in some out-of-the-way spot by a party scarcely larger than your own." Right? So fancy that, Elizabeth.
Yeah,
you get hailed by
a
crew. But you know what, Elizabeth? Rather than me tell you about it, I'd like to mix things up. I'm going to have this cat tell you about it.
Oh, no.
So, Elizabeth, I'd like you to close your eyes.
My eyes are closed.
And picture it. You are in the Caucasus Mountains. You are on horseback, part of a group of riders. You're all currently passing through the rocky escarpments of a ravine when you hear the sound of approaching riders. The horse hooves are like rolling thunder as it draws near. Take it away, St. Petersburg correspondent.
Imagine the leader, riding a little apart from the others, doffing his hat with an air of courtly grace, and in a few polite words, pronounced in a most insinuating voice, explaining that to his referent circumstances beyond his control render it necessary that he should deprive you of your money, horse, and valuables, but that he will do so with as little discomfort to yourself as possible. You and your companions might instinctively reach for your weapons, but it would do no good. In a twinkling, every one of you would be covered. There, there, gentlemen, the leader would be apt to expostulate. Let us transact our business as gentlemen should. Will you kindly turn out your pockets? After it is all over, the leader of the band, who is none other than Barbara Daniela, may request you to remain on the spot for an hour or so, until he and his friends have had enough time to get clear away. And he adds that, should you disobey, one of his men has orders to blow your brains out, which he sincerely begs you not to have carried out. You wait impatiently for the hour to elapse. Ages seem to have passed away since your property left you, but the white handkerchief, which is to be hoisted as a signal that you might have Move On has not yet appeared. And as you are beginning to debate with yourself whether you had not better take to your heels and risk the consequences, when all at once the gentleman on the prancing charger rides up, raises his hat, and says, "I'm so sorry, sir, to cause you still further discomfort, but I leave it to yourself to judge whether I can do otherwise. You see those travelers away there on the further end of the road? Well, we thought we might as well do business with them while they and we are here. We may have never meet again in this world, and it would never do for you to leave us in the lurch at such a critical moment. I must ask you, therefore, to wait till the business is transacted, and then I promise you I will do everything to further you on your journey home. Here, is there anything I can offer you meanwhile to shorten the time? A pack of cards, a bottle of wine, or only a drop of wine? Certainly. I will tell one of my men to bring you a bottle in a moment." And gracefully touching his hat, the highwayman is off. You are provided with good wine and with the spectacle of a neat highway robbery, softened and refined by sweet female influence. And an hour or two later, you part politely with your captor, who wishes you Godspeed on the way.
So there you go. That is how they depicted what we've heard so much about.
Yeah, yeah.
So after that stirring account, St. Petersburg correspondent, he got back to what he knew best, which is talking about a woman in the terms of what value she provided a man.
Sure.
So he said, and I quote, "Barbara Daniela is a Georgian, and her beauty therefore may be more easily imagined than described." Or there's the more, yeah, right? The more purple prose published by the New York Herald. "In her male attire, she would never be taken for a woman were it not for her delicate features, her silvery voice, and her small hands and feet, always neatly gloved and booted." I think, most of all, Elizabeth, we should give old Barbara Daniela all the credit she deserved as an early tech disruptor. Because, as one paper noted, and I quote, "Until the coming of Barbara Daniela, the bandits cared for nothing but to secure their plunder in the easiest manner possible. If a victim resisted and it was thought the easiest way to bring him to terms to cut off his head, zip, the deed was done. It was effective, but it was not artistic." Now, really, when it comes to separating heads from your shoulder, I expect artistry. I don't know about you,
yeah,
but
I'm
like,
I would like it to be artistic.
Who hired this highwayman just yeah. sloppily chop heads?
Yeah, exactly.
All jokes aside, though, it should be noted that what I respect Barbara Daniela for the most was that she spared the poor from the brutality of the bandit. So if only for a little while. As the New York Herald noted, "Among the barbarous bandits and the highwaymen of the Caucasus Mountains, there was no chivalry in their makeup until Barbara came among them. But now the poor are allowed to go in peace, and sometimes their condition is bettered by a meeting with the fair highway woman."
Oh.
Because she used to give the money she stole from the rich, and she'd be like, "Hey, how far are you guys going? Damascus? Here you go."
There you go. That's nice.
You break it off a little bit.
I like that.
Now, the poor travelers, they never had to fear old Barbara Daniela, because she was regarded to be extremely charitable and kind. Now, I don't know about you, Elizabeth. I love both these outlaws.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
So what's our ridiculous takeaway here?
You know what? My ridiculous takeaway is go barefoot. How about you? What's your ridiculous takeaway?
I need a horse.
Yeah.
I kept reading about this. I'm like, oh, God, I want a horse. I wanted to be able to like take off, and people are like, we don't know where he is. He went that direction.
Put an air tag on the horse.
So after all of this, I got to ask you something.
Yeah.
Thanks for asking what my question is going to be. My question is this, Elizabeth.
I'm supposed to ask so much.
I know. I keep you busy. You in the mood for a talk back?
Oh, you better believe it. Hit it, Dave.
Talk back. Oh my God, did he just say that?
OMG.
Hello from Australia, Zarin and Elizabeth. I was years old today when I heard Zarin say that mosquitoes are attracted to O blood type people. I am an O blood type person, and I've just thought for 42 years that mosquitoes are just racist and eating me because I'm brown skin. There you go. You taught me something new, Zarin. Love you guys. Love the work. And Elizabeth, I especially love your voice and your characters. They crack me up.
Yes.
Wow.
Some respect from a girl. Oh, E's voices.
You know, the mosquitoes, man.
Could you do maybe, I don't know, just give me a little, can you do an impression of a mosquito? I know you do celebrity impressions, but could you do an impression of a mosquito?
Well, I don't know. Let's see. okay, let me try this one. Hey, everybody, it's me, a mosquito, and a proboscis, and a pokey, and a itchy.
Nice. It sounded like a mosquito
to me.
Didn't
you feel like you were outside on a hot summer night?
I almost swatted at you.
Yeah, yeah. I just broke out in hives.
Just your own accent.
On my own hives.
I love that. Well, as always, you can find us online, Ridiculous Crime, on Twitter, Instagram, the other social medias. We have the website, RidiculousCrime.com. Yeah. That place is fun, so unlike
super
the
fun.
Other ones. Now, we also have the talkbacks. We love those, obviously, so please hit us up on the iHeart app, leave us a talkback, and maybe you'll hear it on the air. Also, you can email us if you like. We still love to receive those. Remember, Dear Elizabeth, and that goes to RidiculousCrime@gmail.com. Also, I'd like to give a shout-out to one of our listeners, Ellie, thank you for listening. We were reached out to by your grandson, and he wanted us to give you a shout out, and we also wanted to give a shout out to you. We hope all is well, and I hope you're enjoying the road trip with your boy. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next crime. Ridiculous Crime is hosted by Elizabeth Dutton and Zarin Burnett. Produced and edited by the new sheriff in town, Dave Kustin. Research is by Marissa Bad Leroy Brown and Andrea. I wrote a song, Charpentier, wanna hear it? Here it goes. Our theme song is by Thomas the Cripple Creek Kid, Lee, and Travis, I call me Three Finger, Dutton. The host wardrobe provided by Botany 500. Executive producers are Ben the Prairie Professor Boland and Noel, they call me Dynamite Dick, Brown.
Ridiculous Crime.
Say it one more time.
Ridiculous Crime.
Ridiculous Crime is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.